Let's start with the testimony of a cannibal child. Why chide ye me as if I had committed a crime? Give me credit. If ye had the experience of eating human flesh, ye would think it so delicious that ye would never forbear it again. These words were allegedly spoken by a 12-year-old girl just before she was tied to a stake and burned. The episode supposedly took place in the Scottish city of Dundee in the middle of the 15th century. Here on the 14 Freakout, we explore the strange, the supernatural, the weird, and the gothic. And to be frank, it doesn't get much more gothic than cannibalism. I'm your host, Jeff Holder, and today I'm exploring the murky world of Scottish cannibals, or at least stories of cannibals, because, as we shall see, stories are not the same as verifiable historical facts. When it comes to cannibalism, the reality often gives way to the legend. For example, people today are still repeating the story of the Atacotti, a cannibal tribe who supposedly lived near Loch Lomond in the Dark Ages. According to one description, when hunting in the woods, the Atacotti preferred the shepherd to his flock. Unfortunately for the veracity of that story, its source is an entirely fraudulent account of Roman Britain called De Situ Britanniae. Although claimed to be an authentic ancient history, it was actually invented by an Englishman, Charles Bertram, in the 1740s. De Situ Britanniae was exposed as a hoax over 150 years ago, yet the fantasy of the cannibal Atacotti is still doing the rounds. Another Scottish cannibal appears in the depths of one of the more brutal periods of the Middle Ages. It was 1339. The forces of the English King Edward III had devastated Scotland and famine stalked the land. Out of this wasteland rose a man called Criston Cleek, who killed and ate men, women, and children. That, at least, is according to a history of Scotland written by Andrew of Winton around the year 1420. Winton was the abbot of a monastery in Loch Leven, and his Original Chronicle of Scotland is one of the earliest history books about the country. Unfortunately, Winton is not an entirely reliable source, so we cannot be sure that he did not make the story up. On the other hand, a time of chaos and famine seems a plausible crucible for cannibalism, so perhaps this medieval anthropophagus did really exist. Andrew of Winton gave just the briefest of details about the man he called Criston Cleek. By the 18th century, however, the bare bones of this story had become a fully fleshed out legend. Now renamed Christy Cleek, the lone cannibal had been reinvented as the leader of a gang of brigands who operated in the hills between Stirling and Perth. Christy, according to the story, would pull travellers off their horses with his cleek or crook. In this embroidered version, his skill at cutting up and cooking the corpses derived from his previous job, he'd been a butcher. Which is a nice touch, that, I think. Then there's the most infamous cannibal from Scotland, Sawney Bean. Sawney, as everyone knows, was an outstanding example of the anthropophagus paterfamilias. For many years, he controlled a grim tribe of three generations of his inbred children and grandchildren, all of whom lived in a cave and killed and ate travellers. Only when a troop of government soldiers rooted them out were the cannibal clan exterminated. These days, Sawney Bean is the chief celebrity of cannibal culture. He has his own stance in the popular attraction of the Edinburgh Dungeon, and hundreds of thousands of hits on Google. And you can, with some difficulty, visit his cave on the Ayrshire coast. There's only one problem. He never existed. The story of Sawney's horrid life was another 18th century hoax, this one perpetuated by an anonymous Englishman in the period following the Union of Parliaments in 1707. With Scotland and England becoming a single nation state, there was much bad feeling in England about Scottish attempts to take part of the English economy. By portraying Scots as uncivilised and even cannibalistic, the tale of Sawney Bean played to English prejudices. It was an ethnic slur, but a slur that many people were happy to believe. By the time Bonnie Prince Charlie's Jacobites invaded England in 1745, it was common knowledge among ordinary English folk that Scotsmen would kidnap their children and, back at camp, cook and eat them. I'm surprised no one came up with a recipe for haggis that replaced the traditional sheep's stomach with the human equivalent. But what about the cannibal child of Dundee? Well, this is a much more intriguing tale. The episode is set sometime between 1440 and 1460 and tells of an entire cannibal family of cutthroats living in a remote den in Angus. When they were finally caught, only a 1-year-old infant was spared the stake. She was fostered by a local family, but as she grew older, her inheritance came through. She started biting her fellow children and licking their blood, eventually progressing into actual eating morsels of human flesh that she had torn off with her teeth. So at the age of 12, she too was escorted to the Market Cross of Dundee for execution. The story was told in the History and Chronicles of Scotland, written by Robert Lindsay of Pitscotty in the 1560s, during the turbulent period of the Scottish Reformation and Mary Queen of Scots. Lindsay was from Fife and was a Scottish patriot. He would not have wanted his readers to think that his fellow Scots were corpse-eating savages. So, if it's not propaganda, could the story actually be true? It's possible, but the short answer is, we will never actually know. As a historian, Lindsay is unreliable, often treating gossip as the absolute truth. There are no legal records of the case, and the Dundee cannibals are not named in his chronicle. They were supposedly eating people 100 years before Lindsay was writing, so he could have picked up a piece of folklore or tittle-tattle and spun it out into full history. Or perhaps it really is authentic history. We just can't tell. One thing I am convinced of, though, is that the narrative of the Dundee cannibal tribe, a story very few people have heard of, is the basis for the immensely popular and entirely fraudulent story of Sawney Bean. There are just too many similarities. Multi-generation flesh eaters, the cave, the attack by the forces of law and order, the executions. Sawney's daughter even escapes the roundup, only to be brought to justice later, just like the little girl in Dundee. Ah yes, that sweet cannibal child, a chip off the old block, a credit to a dear old dad. Now that's a folktale if I ever heard one. The idea here is that a one-year-old becomes a cannibal in later life because of some kind of, what, cannibal genes being weaned on human flesh? It's just silly, a fanciful addition and tacked on because the original description is just too bare, with not enough narrative to get your teeth into. Filtered through the lens of the Sawney Bean legend, the legacy of the cannibal family of Dundee lives on, particularly in horror films, the home of contemporary folklore. If you watch one of the various incarnations of The Hills Have Eyes, you are seeing a modern American take on a story that was first told in Scotland more than 500 years ago. If you want to find out more about the cannibal child, the complete story is in my book Paranormal Dundee, published by the History Press in 2010. Details at www.jeffholder.com. Until the next time then, allez avec les dieux.